أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome back to Ramadan Reflections. For this, the 29th day of the blessed month of Ramadan. For some people in the world, this may be the last fast for this year. Others who will be completing the 30 days, there will be one more day to go. But whatever the case may be, however many days we have fasted, this is obviously a blessing from God. And if we fast 29 days or 30 days, we're fulfilling our responsibilities. So in either way, may Allah accept our acts of worship. May God accept our acts of worship in this blessed month. Today in this thought, we want to reflect on the theme of it starts at the top. What does it mean? This is also, you know, probably a very famous catchphrase that we have heard in the world around us today, that it starts at the top in terms of reform, in terms of change in society. How does the Quran look at this theme, this topic? Because there's no doubt that, you know, many times it's grassroots movements which begin that process of change. But unfortunately, many times it's those grassroots movements which stem from the fact that the people at the top are not doing their responsibility. Right? You see many of these hashtag movements, whether it be the Not Us movement, the Black Lives Matter movement, many of these movements that happen around the world, they start because of the fact that the grassroots are tired of people at the top being inactive, not fulfilling their responsibilities. And so they feel that it is their requirement to start these protest movements and these hashtags and these attempts to change the society. However, Quranically speaking, from the basis of the verses of the Quran, we understand that it actually should start at the top. If change is there from the top down, if the people at the upper echelons are the ones who will make the change initially and make society a better place to be, then there would be no need for people to have these kinds of movements and protests in the streets and the revolutions that we see happening. But it doesn't happen, and so obviously that is why revolutions start off from the grassroots. Let us go to the verse of the Quran that we wish to deliberate upon today and come back and reflect upon it in the history of its revelation and our own contemporary application of it. Allah says the following in the noble Quran. And in the exemplary history of Moses too, there is a clear sign. We sent him as a messenger to the Pharaoh. In this beautiful verse of the Quran from chapter number 51, verse number 38, God is once again speaking about one of the prophets which is mentioned multiple times in the Quran, and that is Prophet Moses, peace be upon him. The one who was sent to the Israelites to free them from the bondage and slavery that they had been in for so many generations under the Pharaonic system of Egypt at that time. If you study the history of how the children of Israel ended up in bondage and slavery, I'll just give you a very brief analysis, a historical background of it, is that the children of Israel, the tribes of Israel as they're known in the Quran as well, they actually stem from Prophet Ya'qub, Prophet Jacob, whose actual other name is Israel. And this word Israel, it basically is translated into Arabic as Abdullah, or the servant of God. And so when we say the Banu Israel, what we are saying is that Prophet Jacob, Prophet Ya'qub, he's also known as Israel. He had 12 sons, as we know the story of, for example, Yusuf, one of his favorites, favorite sons, we can say, and also the most famous of all of his children. These 12 brothers, they ended up obviously moving to Egypt eventually. If you read the story of the Quran in chapter named Yusuf, named after Prophet Joseph, and they obviously had children and progeny and offspring, and their lineage continued. And so these 12 children and their father, Prophet Jacob, peace be upon him, they made up obviously a large segment of the Egyptian society at that time. They made up a large segment, but eventually they were obviously subject to the rules of the Pharaonic system. They were also under bondage, under slavery. And in that era, in that circumstance, is where God brings up Prophet Moses to free the children of Israel from the slavery that they were facing in Egypt. And obviously the story of the Exodus takes place and them being rescued and saved and brought to salvation. But what we understand is that it began with Prophet Moses. The masses were not able to get themselves out of that state just because of the way the system had been created. Right? Much like our system today. You know, people who are low class, low income earners rather, people who are maybe middle in the middle of the class society, middle income, many times those at the lower income bracket can't get out of their situation. People who are of a moderate income, they can't get out of their situation, and they're living hand to mouth, because the system has been designed such to keep the top 1% at the top and have everybody else serve and work for them. Similar was the case of the people at the time in Egypt, that the Pharaoh, the pharaonic system, the pharaohs, the kings, the so-called gods of the society, they didn't let the common people move up in rank, in economic status, in prosperity. And so rather than the Pharaoh, you know, equally distributing wealth amongst all of the people, having a society based on justice, on equality of humanity, he took advantage of this. And you see the pyramids being built. You see, the Sphinx and all of these statues that are in Egypt, because this is what they did with the money. They built these massive, what we have today as skyscrapers and beautiful buildings. They built pyramids back then. And it took a man like Moses. It took a man with that revolutionary spirit who was born into that society, brought up in the house of the Pharaoh, to actually destroy that entire system. Just like our 12th Imam, Imam Al-Mahdi, may God hasten his return, will eventually do, that he will also destroy that system from the top down, because the governments of the world today don't want to relinquish power. They want to waste the resources. They want to keep us subservient to their ideologies and their, while they make the money and the power and control society. And so what we see is that Moses, he began as a top down. He destroyed the pharaonic system from being within the palace. He destroyed it and brought about that revolution for the people, and to give them then the ability to control their own destiny. When it comes to leadership and management principles, sometimes we have to remain the same, that it has to start from the top down. If the leader of the home, of the institution, of the business, of the company, if he or she is corrupt, if they're not giving their employees, their family, their volunteers, if they're not giving them the respect and everything that they're due, then obviously there are going to be problems within that organization, within that family unit. And so therefore we see that leadership and management, that these are not tools to benefit ourselves, but rather these should be there to strengthen everybody else around us. And it starts at the top. If the person at the top of the chain cannot be controlled, if they're not concerned about other people, obviously that's going to create much more friction within the society. And so as a leader, we need to realize that before we even embark upon these statuses of appointing or getting appointed or getting nominated and elected, we have to realize that deep inside our heart, we have to be people who want to bring about change for the betterment of the society, not just ourselves. We have to be worried about others around us, and it starts at the top. If those at the top aren't willing, are not able, then they have to be replaced. If they're not willing to help the masses, then obviously they need to be removed. Moses did it. Prophets before him did it. Prophets after him did it. The successor of the Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family, Imam Al-Mahdi, peace be upon him, will do it. And as leaders, we also have to realize that we have to ensure that change starts at the top, that we have to be agents of change if we want our societies to flourish, our communities, our organizations, our businesses to flourish. We have to be those of change. And we ask Allah, as we conclude on this 29th day of Ramadan, that this last month of Ramadan has been a way of us changing, of bettering ourselves, or making us better human beings, making us better believers, and making us better people to lead and govern our families, our organizations, our mosques, our workplaces, and that we can be better people to manage and govern our own personal lives. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.